Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Rock Splitting Politics. Wow, we got a special edition here. That was Rod Stewart and Jeff Beck doing People Get Ready. And people, are you ready? Well, we got a special edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. A special edition because we have a good friend of mine named Nettie Winters from Mission, Mississippi. And what's his specialty? What's the specialty of this group called Mission, Mississippi? Well, they've been working in racial reconciliation for now 20 years. They've committed, many of these leaders have committed 20 years of their life, and they've committed another 20 years of their life to work with racial reconciliation in the state of Mississippi, bringing black and white Christians together and to learn to love each other, talk about things that most people just can't sit down and talk about without getting upset. They got many years of how to get these things done. And right now, in this Trayvon Martin case that's going out across the nation, let me tell you, in baseball, if you hit the ball, hit a home run, you run around the bases. If you don't touch first base, it doesn't matter. You go around the bases, sliding home for a home run. If you didn't touch first base, you're out. You know, that's what's happened in this Trayvon Martin case. We got people shouting on both sides, a lot of sides, shouting misinformation, but we're not touching first base. We're not learning to stand in the other person's shoes and hear their heart. That doesn't mean we have to agree with them. And that's why Nettie Winters is coming on in just a 3 or 4 minutes. We're going to get him on the phone and we're going to have a conversation with Nettie Winters about this whole Trayvon Martin case and what it means to us here in America. Can we have a forum to speak and say what we mean without somebody getting upset? Say what's on our heart without somebody hitting us over the head? Where can you speak the truth? That's why we got Nettie Winters coming up. In the meantime, this week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Obama Fact, I'll have at the end of the show. And right now, we're going to do this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. And for our new listeners and those who haven't heard our show before, Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award goes to the words, the actions, the deeds of some person or a group, not to the exactly the person, but for what they did. And this week, the award goes to the Vice President of the United States for his words. And once again, he shocked the scientific community with his, I guess, his expertise. Can we call it that? It's Vice President Joe Biden. Is there any wonder why people think global warming is a hoax? Does anybody really understand this man who's our vice president? Look, this last week, the vice president, he shook up the scientific world. At a campaign stop in Virginia, he was touting the administration's energy policy as if the vice president actually knew anything about it. Evidently not, because I can tell you right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, we know about the new technology and gas fracking. I didn't say fracking politics, but we do know rock splitting politics, and we know about gas fracking, and evidently our vice president doesn't have a clue, because he said this. He said that we know we can get natural gas and oil, but we have to do it environmentally soundly. That wasn't very good English, Joe. There's a thing called fracking. They've got to go crack the rock in order to get it out. You can environmentally do it well, or you can environmentally do it poorly. And if you do it poorly, you use up the water aquifer, and you can create, in some cases, earthquakes, he concluded. So he says gas fracking causes earthquakes. Vice President Joe Biden, he gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, and that his words should be buried 6 feet in the ground beneath the tombstone, because he sums up the whole energy policy of this administration. I'm sorry. He just, he's got some studying to do. If he's going to say something, somebody ought to at least give him a few facts. Now, we'll go right into this conversation with Nettie Winters in just a minute. Next week, we're going to get to the rock-splitting politics. We've talked about gas fracking, but we know rock-splitting politics got a lot to talk about, everything from the health care bill before the Supreme Court, all kind of, the Republican nomination. This race is still on, although it's the fat lady's getting ready to sing, it looks like. But we're going to talk about that next week. But right now, we're going to get this conversation with Nettie Winters. Before we do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock-Splitting Politics right here on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And we're glad you're listening to us. Our new listeners, we want to invite you to go back and listen to our archive shows. You can go to the archive shows and find out what rock-splitting politics is all about. It's about the new things that are happening in this country that some people don't understand. And we're getting the news to you every week right here on webtalkradio.net. So we're glad to have you. Go back and listen to our archives. Listen to us every week. Tell your friends and neighbors about us. That's why we are growing. We're having an influence on the political direction of this nation by talking about the rock-splitting politics right here. Doc Holliday's Rock-Splitting Politics. And let me remind you, you can go to my website at teaparty.ms, order my new book by the same name, Doc Holliday's Rock-Splitting Politics. You'll be glad you did, because it's going to be talking about this year's presidential election. How does it compare with the Battle of Gettysburg? If you don't know, if you think you know, go get my book. It'll tell you. It's shaping up just like the Battle of Gettysburg, this presidential race. Now, saying that, we're going to go back and talk about this Trayvon Martin case, where America is racially. Where are we lacking? Well, let's get Nettie Winters on the phone. He is the president of a group called Mission Mississippi, whose purpose is to bring about racial reconciliation, also denominational reconciliation, within the body of Christ. Now, this is not just for Christians, because they work in, and I've been involved with it over the last few years, and really work hard on teaching people to listen to another person's heart, their perspective. Doesn't mean you have to agree, but this man, Nettie Winters, has more experience of talking in groups and allowing others to talk. It's not a forum where people come listen. It's a forum where people come and participate so that they are heard and their heart is heard, and you can hear people's hearts, and we teach how to listen. And that's what this nation needs right now. So tell your friends and neighbors about this show with Nettie Winters. All right, right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, I have Nettie Winters of Mission, Mississippi. I know Nettie, and I've known him for several years now, and have learned a lot from him. And that's one reason he's on the show, because he's going to teach us all a few things about, that's important to being an American, being who we are. So, Nettie Winters, tell me a little bit, and our listeners, a little bit about Mission Mississippi.
Ed, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and talk to you a little bit about Mission Mississippi. Mississippi actually is a movement in the body of Christ to illustrate and demonstrate unity in the body of Christ across racial and denominational lines. Our goal is to help come along beside the church to encourage Christians to love one another as Christ has loved us.
Well, one of the things that you have done and has been noteworthy all over not only the state of Mississippi but in other places in the nation, they look at this and they say, how do you get racial reconciliation? And they, and Mission Mississippi has really worked hard and has gone through different programs over the years to help strengthen racial reconciliation. And one of the best things I know of that I've participated with you is in Days of Dialogue. And what a day of dialogue is when you don't just spend a few minutes or an hour, but actually a whole morning or a whole day talking about things that sometimes you won't talk about everybody present. So tell me a bit about a day of dialogue. What is that?
You know, Ed, we really hang our hat on, as a movement of Mission Mississippi, we hang our hat on developing trusting, deep relationships, learning how to trust each other and build relationships that can endure hard and deep discussions. And idea dialogue give us an opportunity to practice some of that. And what we do is that we set aside a commitment. Most of the time, we'd like a minimum of a four-hour block. Share that time together. What we determine, our definition of a day of dialogue is not some forum or some panel or some kind of lecture. It is actually where people get an opportunity to sit at the table with each other and talk about local issues as it relates to race or other issues in the community that they want to talk about to help enhance and move the community together, forward together, I would say. And so what we do is we give people an opportunity to set a table and get to know each other. We ask them to answer some questions with each other and share that information, and then we let the whole group be debriefed on what the small groups talk about. So it's just another opportunity to build a safe environment. You know, one of our goals is to create an environment where people have an opportunity to talk about harder, deeper things that otherwise they would not talk about and feel safe in doing it. We try to set it in such a way people learn to listen to each other and not label or attack or judge or rebuttal for that matter. We just want to learn from each other and listen and get people's perspective on what they believe and what they think and help them understand what we believe and what we our perspective on things. And so the Day of Dialogue gives us an opportunity as a group of people to come together. Hopefully we can get as many black and white Christians in the room as possible to have those discussions. So we learn how to listen to each other and learn how to learn from each other, if I can say it that way.
Well, you did a good job of presenting what that is. And the reason I was asking you about that is because, as far as I'm concerned, and there's very few times in my lifetime that I have seen such controversy over a case, and this is, I'm talking about the Trayvon Martin case from down in Florida, and it seems like everybody had a cooler in a water cooler at their job or wherever you go, there's people talking about the Trayvon Martin case, and it's been very racially divisive. It seems to be dividing the nation. And there's a lot of untruths coming out and a lot of myths being built. And then what do you do on a situation like this, Nettie? What's the best way to say, let's talk about this without people resorting to violence?
Well, Ed, in a heated discussion, heated debate, as you just described, sometimes it's very difficult to get people to sit down and be rational, reasonable about what they're doing. And how to have a conversation. That's why Mission Mississippi hangs its hat on the fact that community people meeting on a regular basis, building a relationship, so when things like this happen, that the community can sit down in a reasonable way and have the conversation. You know, right now we're having conversations, sound bites, and new, what I call news breaks. And so, you know, you really can't get facts and really understand what even the position of another person when you really just got your mind made up based on a soundbite or a news break that people trying to draw attention to their point of view. You know, one of the things we do for Mission Mississippi, we want people to learn how to listen to each other without being judgmental or without being adversarial or combative or in their discussion or even become debatable in the discussion. What we like to do is to hear each other and really understand Ed's perspective and Ed's understanding. I don't necessarily have to agree with you, Ed, on whatever it is the issue happened to be, but I at least ought to have the understanding of how you feel about it before I begin to seek to be understood about it. And I think that's the key to Mississippi dialogue, is that in a case like the case down in Florida, is that there's a lot of, as you talked about earlier, there's a lot of information that's going forward. And who knows what's factual and who knows what's not factual. And so sometimes we operate on inadequate information. The appearance of things doesn't look good. And so when those things happen, you know, it happens down racial lands. And so you have a clear case here that people are not really waiting for the investigation, the facts to really come to the surface. They've already determined what they think it ought to be, and they're operating from that perspective. And so what, you know, one of the things that happens in America that's unfortunately, we really don't have a forum or a way of sitting down and discussing those things that are really hot issues or controversial issues. What we tend to do is to talk at each other and about each other and attack each other and judge and label each other, but we really don't sit down to seek to understand. One of the things I'm working on with Mississippi is try to implement in our discussion, you know, we talked about selective listening, passive listening, and active listening. One of the things I'm trying to get us to do is do what we define as empathetic listening. Empathetic listening is defined to seek to understand before you understood. And so I tell people many times in our discussion, your permission to speak is that you really understand what I'm saying. You really understand my perspective of it. You really understand how I feel about it. Now, whether or not you want to agree or disagree with me is a whole nother issue. But at least now you can say, Nettie, I really understand how you feel about that, but I have a different perspective on it. And I believe I'm willing at that point to really hear you when I know that I've been understood and at least been had an opportunity to express how I feel about it, and you understand that. And then you can express your point of view, and the dialogue can go forth from that. I've been married over 40-some years, Ed, and I've learned how to do a lot more listening for understanding and trying to prove my point or try to be understood, because the other person is seeking the same thing. My wife is always seeking for me to understand, because, you know, many times I've had discussion with her, and at the end of the discussion, you know, or at least what I thought was a discussion, it might have been just a debate or just an argument. At the end of it, though, she'll look at me and shake her head and say, you just don't understand. And I think that's many times and oftentimes what we go away from a conversation, what we term as a dialogue. We go away from that kind of more with frustration than we do with understanding, because we fail to understand each other. And so I would say a situation like in Florida, that we really should wait for the facts and all the investigative things until everything has been established, and have the conversation or set some ground rules. You know, we try to set ground rules on having the discussion in terms of what we say and how we say it. And so, you know, at this point, you know, with a situation like that, you probably need to set ground rules that we don't really know what happened, but based on what we've heard, here's my understanding of it. You know, based on what's been presented, here's how I would see that, and maybe have a discussion that way, because we really don't have all the facts in now, as I understand it. And so those are very hot button topics and hot button situation. And right now, you know, emotions and all of that is running high. And how do you get over that? It's tough. It's a hard conversation to have when emotions on both sides are so high as it relates to that. And the news media helps us heighten even more the awareness of emotions and things. And so I think right now it's a lot of emotion is talking.
I would love to see something like you mentioned, where there would be some ground rules and a real forum where we had real leaders who had time to speak out what needs, you know, what they would say and listen with empathy. The trouble is we had 30-second sound bites that people from every side is trying to put into it. And all it's doing is like pouring, you know, kerosene on a fire.
Right. You know, a lot of times when I watch the commentaries or the commentators on TV or those that talk about or present those issues, they'll get the opposing side and let them each have something to say. And what happens is they, you know, when one makes a point, the other one raises his voice, and the other one raising his voice, and what you end up with is two people yelling at each other. And the commentary guy is sitting in the middle trying to figure out how to instigate even more heightened debate or discussion. And really not, you know, America really doesn't have a forum where we can sit down and really have the kind of discussion that you're talking about. And so our goal at Mississippi is to create a forum and environment where it's safe to really have the harder, deeper conversations. And I think the more we create environments and opportunity for that to happen, the more we can move forward and settle our disagreements and move forward together. You know, one of the things, our goal is to have oneness or unity, and that doesn't mean everybody got to be the same, doesn't mean that everybody got to agree. What we want to do is to work in harmony together toward a common goal. And the common goal from Mississippi's perspective is not hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ from going forward.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out. And, of course, a lot of our listeners aren't Christians, and we got from the Jewish community and even some atheists. We got all kind of people listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Everybody's wanting to know is, well, can you, you know, can you take something and have a deep discussion in a forum? And I think everybody agree, America has no forum of what you're talking about.
Right.
There's no place to come together and have a group of people that will agree to listen and not be shouting back. Not, you know, so many shows want ratings and they want people to listen. They will have a shouting match, and all that does is it doesn't do anything solving problems and helping people understand. So you put your finger on what America needs. The question is, how do we get there? You got any ideas how America get there without doing a Mission Mississippi?
You know, America can get there by actually building a relationship intentionally, what we call intentionally building a relationship. You know, I think that the height of our communities these days is that the people are opposed to an issue or a concern or a problem, and they want to try to eradicate problems or issues from our community so that our community can grow and flourish. And really, I don't know whether or you're black or white, Hispanic or Asian or Chinese, whatever, most of us had that desire. Now, getting to the point that we can sit down and work together and harmony to accomplish that is the problem that we're experiencing in America. And so I would think what we would do is begin to build relationships. I know some people say, well, Nettie, you know, that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort and energy. Well, you're right. It does take a lot of time and effort and energy. But other things that we're doing are not working. It seems like we can invest some time. So I call it investment value. We invest some time, what I call quality time, and take some personal initiative to move the conversation forward so that we can get to the point that we can have some honest exchange and take that investment, our time, and other things with each other.
Nettie, I'm going to stop you right there. Just let's remind all our listeners, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on www.webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. We're listening to Nettie Winters, president of Mission Mississippi. And now, Nettie, won't you share a little bit about the relationship you and I have?
And build that relationship, like, you know, like Ed, you and I have a relationship that there are not many things you and I can't talk about.
That's right. Yeah.
And because of that, you and I can sit down. We don't always agree on the things that we talk about.
Well, I agree with that, too.
We have an honest exchange and a discussion about it, and we still go away friends, and we go away understanding. Well, I know how Ed feels on that, and I know how I feel on this. But, you know, ultimately, his heart and my heart is together on that we need to move forward, and we need to do it in a way that will bring about better circumstances in our community and unity and harmony in doing that. And that's not to mean that everybody got to be in uniformity. That means everybody got to change. We're not trying to get black folks to be white or white folks to be black or non-Christian to be Christian, for that matter. We're trying to get people to have the conversation to the point that we can begin to really come up with those solutions and things and formulas, formulate some things in our community that can help us stop the violence. It's unfortunate that what happened in Florida, you know, that things like that happen, but, you know, that's life and things like that's going to happen. So how do we get to the point that we can work together to try to avoid those things happening in the future, that we don't be suspicious about each other or have these stereotypical thoughts about each other to the point that we can learn how to at least have enough patience and passion about what we're doing to give people the benefit of the doubt until we you know, move forward to do it the right way under the right circumstances.
Well, Nettie, I appreciate you bringing that out. And the most important thing you said is, again, America has no forum, no place that we can go talk to because we haven't built those relationships.
Right.
And because always it'd be one party, it'd be either a political party or a liberal versus conservative, but there needs to be a place where we can sit and talk and be able to talk. And for our listeners, I've been in days of the day of dialogue we've mentioned, and Nettie Winters has mentioned, and we can talk. We can bring up some very, very hot button subjects in those day of dialogue and get people to speak from their heart and at the same time listen to the other person. And it really does help change when you know you got time to listen. You're not going to be in a rush. You don't have 30-second sound bites, and you're going to be there for 3 or 4 hours.
Right. You know, that's what we encourage people to do. That, you know, sometime as a pastor, sometimes people ask me a question on Sunday morning, you know, 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes before I have to preach. They'll ask me a question that'll take 6 months to resolve, but they want me to answer before I get ready to preach. And, you know, and that's the way we have conversations sometimes. We're one of the fast food syndrome in terms of working out things. We want it now, and we want it resolved quickly and so forth, and we end up prolonging it and making it worse than what it is because we want to take the time to do that. You know, Mission Mississippi is encouraging not only people that's involved with Mission Mississippi to have these kinds of days of dialogue. We've encouraged other organizations that's in racial reconciliation to do the same thing, and many of them have taken us up on that. And so I notice in some of the publicizing days and other things that people are now going to have days of dialogue, or hours of dialogue, or some kind of opportunity where people have an opportunity to sit down and talk to each other. You know, I guess the key to all of this is this, Ed, is that each one of us individually, and that's what we encourage in Christians to do, each one of us individually had to make a commitment that I'm going to really spend some quality time, take some personal initiative, and build a relationship with somebody different from me, or from a different race, or a different denomination, or a different political party, whether liberal or conservative. You know, what would be wonderful in America today is that every conservative that you know and I know would take the time to build a relationship with a person that's liberal, or and right. Vice versa. Wouldn't that be something that we would take the time to build relationships across those divides? And even though the goal would not for us to change from being conservative to liberal or vice versa, the goal would be is that, you know, I just now appreciate and understand why you're liberal. I can understand and appreciate why you're conservative. Not that I'm going to change the way I am, but at least we can be friends through the process. And we don't, especially as it relates to Christians, Christians don't have to attack and judge and label and become adversaries in the process, you know. As we go to church on Sunday mornings, they're all the above sitting on the pew.
And I can tell you there's some great examples that you know that's come out of Mississippi where we had people who were black that never talked to the people who were white and didn't understand their perspective from, like you said, from conservative to liberal or Democrat or Republican. And we've gotten a lot of friendships developed over those worldly lines, political lines, and you've seen it many times, and you've seen it strengthen the state of Mississippi.
Absolutely. We see it over and over again where we get people that's politically opposed to each other or liberals or conservative in the room. They take time to really have a conversation. That's just the beginning. You know, I don't want anyone to think that the day of dialogue is going to resolve. The day of dialogue is a practice run, in my estimation, mm-hmm. of getting people to understand how important it is to have a conversation. And from that, it builds. That's just the beginning. If I can sit down with you for a few hours, begin to get to know you and get to understand your perspective, and then as time moves on, we spend more time together, more and more we are able to learn how to work with each other and do things together with each other without having to change our political affiliation or becoming something that we're not, and that we can work together. Because this country is built on the fact of diversity. And when I talk about diversity, I'm talking about black, white, Christian, and so forth, that this country is built on the fact that we are able to love and get along with one another in a way that helps move us forward together. And that's why we're one of the greatest countries on earth, because we wouldn't be able to do that. And I think it all goes back, from my perspective, it all goes back to the fact that we are Christians, and we learn better, we do better, and do the thing that God has called us to do in the right way. And so we learn how to listen and learn from each other and move forward. You know, one of the things I found out, especially in Mississippi, we think because we're from the same part of the geographic location, for instance, you live in Tupelo, people begin to believe and think that because everybody was raised and grew up in Tupelo, they all experience the same thing the same way in the same manner. And when, especially as it relates to race, when one person is white and one person is black talk to each other, and they find out, well, that ain't my perspective. That's not my experience. That's not my journey. Well, the goal is not to try to make it your journey. The goal is to understand that even though I lived in the same town or grew up in the same town with you, is that our experiences were different. Our life was different, and we need to learn how to allow that to be what it is. It's different. I wasn't aware that you went through this. I wasn't aware that that happened. Well, you know, sometimes we don't want to accept the fact that people can live in the same location and in the same go in the same school system, other things, and see life from a totally different perspective and have totally different experiences. And so that's one of the things we want to accomplish in building a relationship, that you understand that everybody didn't get the same perspective growing up or have the same understanding growing up, and not be upset with folks because, you know, I've had people to say, well, how in the world could you live in the same town with me and not know this was happening? Well, it's possible. And what we don't want to do is to judge people and label them because they're not aware or was not sensitive or understand our perspective. And sometimes we don't get it. That doesn't necessarily mean we don't care. And I think that's another key ingredient to having a discussion, is that because I don't really understand or don't get it, doesn't mean that I don't care. I do care. I may just not get it. And for 40-some years now, my wife been trying to help me get it. And I don't know if I got it yet or not, but she knows that I love her, and despite the fact that I don't always understand and get it right. And so that's one of the things we want to encourage people to do, is to spot some grace here. Let's move together and work out our differences in a way that will be amenable to moving forward. So I think the investing value of investing time and energy to get to know folks and build a relationship is a tremendous thing to take communities forward and build community in the community to move it forward in the right direction to help eradicate those things from our community that's undesirable on everybody's part, whether you're conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican or white or black. There are things that we all want to enjoy in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our places of work. And so we can work together to accomplish those things so we can all enjoy and move forward together in our communities. And so that's what Mission Mississippi's goal is, to get people to work together toward a common goal of having the right kind of environment and opportunity we have in our community to move it forward in the right direction to help grow it, prosper it, that our children and family can enjoy safe and wholesome environments.
Nettie, here we got to come up toward the end, but we just finished Easter last week. We had Good Friday and then Easter. So if you take a case, even like the Trayvon Martin case in Florida, and such a tragedy, and I think everybody can agree, it's a tragedy.
Absolutely.
When a young man loses his life. Can something good come out of that tragedy? Can we learn how to?
You know, I absolutely believe that something good can come out of that, because we all have redeemable qualities. And I think of nothing else that, in my perspective, is nothing else than getting people to talk about it. May not be talking about it in the right way. I'm praying, my prayer about that situation, Ed, is that I'm praying that our leaders, those that has the spotlight in the microphone, will say, let's just sit down and have a conversation here. Let's just talk about this in a way that'll help move us forward. How can we talk about it? Stop pointing fingers and blame. I'm telling you, the young man is dead. It's unfortunate. It's a tragedy. It is nothing we can do to bring him back, but we can move forward together to try to do everything we can to prevent something like this from happening in the future. And that means that if the young man that killed him need to be punished or put in jail or whatever, let's move forward to do that, but do it in the right way so that the community can grow and develop in the right way to go forward, that we can prevent these things from happening in the future. Awareness and education is probably the greatest thing that I believe could come out of this, is that now can you really sit down and listen and understand that there are stereotypical things that causes us to react and act certain ways. How can we prevent that from happening in the future? So I think we ought to try to figure out forums and opportunities where we can have a conversation to prevent that from happening. And certainly race is a big issue in the United States of America. It's going to continue to be an issue. And we're challenging the Christian community to look at it from this. But this is what we look at, is that, you know, race matters, but at the end of the day, we believe grace matters more. And so, you know, we got to be intentional about spotting grace and giving the same kind of grace. You talked about Easter just passing and so forth. You know, that was all about the grace of God upon us and how Jesus died for us and how we have received grace from him. Our goal now is to pass that grace on to others, because really grace is for undeserving folks.
Well, Nettie,
that's how that works.
I think that's a great way to finish it up, because race matters, but grace matters more.
Absolutely
a great way to finish up the conversation. And God bless you in all your endeavors and as you continue with Mission Mississippi. And I hope other places in the country can learn about these forums. And if they want to know more about Mission Mississippi and what you have done and what you've created, and so they won't have to reinvent a wheel, how can they find out more about Mission Mississippi?
You know, they can go to missionmississippi.org on our website, or they can give us a call at area code 601-353-6477, and we'll be happy to share what we've learned and share what we can to help people move along. You know, we do events and other things along those lines. Yet, you know, we have a luncheon for the governor and for the mayors and a celebration banquet in October. We had those three annual events where we're putting people together to simply pray with each other and pray for our leaders. And we think those are things that are helping move us forward in Mississippi, bringing the body of Christ together to pray for our leaders and pray together and pray for one another. And those opportunities we have like that. But they can get more information on our website, missionmississippi.org, or they give us a call at area code 601-353-6477, and we'll be more than happy to share what we've learned and share what we can do together.
I want to thank Nettie for being on the show, and I think one of the best nuggets out of that is recognizing our nation, America, has no forum to speak to the heart like we talked about, and letting people be able to share from the heart what the real feelings are without getting jumped on. So I appreciate Nettie coming on the show. Anybody's interested in finding out more about Mission Mississippi, go to the website like you mentioned. And now it's time for this week's Doc Holliday's rock-splitting Obama fact. And the Obama fact is this. In 2008, during a campaign, it was a very special campaign because people knew we would be electing the first African-American president if he was to win. And he did win. And now we've had these years, 3.5 years, going on 4 years under these policies. I think the policies have not measured up. And you know that, but anybody listens to the show. But I will say this, President Obama broke the glass ceiling. Now anybody in America can wake up and say, I can be president of the United States one day. It's encouraging. And so I will give that as this week's Doc Holliday's rock-splitting Obama fact, that President Barack Obama has made history in the United States of America. And it's my feeling that his history has been made, and it's time for his history to be put aside so we can get a new president in November. We'll talk about that more next week, along with the Supreme Court, the ruling of the health care deal that's been coming up, and also as we look and see what's getting ready for the Republican nomination and convention. So a lot of things. We're going to get back into Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Our new listeners, we encourage you to listen every week. New show goes up every Monday, up for the whole week. Listen to it when you have the time. Go back and listen to the archives. And check out my website. You can go to getobamaout.com and order my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. Until next week, get those sledgehammers out and let's go cracking at the status quo. Let's crack some rock and get this rock split in politics to turn this nation around. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.